Well, good morning and happy Sabbath. I don't know about you, I'm liking the weather. If it could stay like this all the time, that'd be great. Anyway, it isn't. Well, I'm here to introduce Martin McCann. Mostly he goes by Marty, is what he would prefer. So Marty is the way he likes to be called, and his lovely wife, Lori, as well. And I like to, you know, say that I don't know who's put up with who the longest, but, you know, they've been married for 28 years. And that's, you know, in today's life, that's an accomplishment. And I truly wish that you guys have many more years, you know. But then again, they got two kids. And we all know sometimes we get gray hairs from that. He's got a daughter, Brittany, 17, looking to go to college next year. That's always a milestone, as you know, most of us here have a lot of our kids going off to college as well. And their son, 15, the Wonder Years, Owen. So, and they both attend at the Fresno Christian School. Now, Marty's been a financial advisor in the Fresno area for 25 years, and that's quite a long time. You know, and it was Sonia, actually, that I remember Sonia introducing to him to our church almost, what, maybe 10 years ago?
I was trying to think of when it was. It's been a while.
Anyway, it's been a while. And so they heard you speak at Camp Soquel the one time, and that's how he got invited to our church approximately about 10 years ago. Well, we're taking the opportunity to ask Marty to come back again. And so, without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Marty.
Good morning. I guess once every 10 years isn't so bad to come up and preach. I actually do a fair amount of public speaking, but usually it's on money, not on Christ and Christ's mercy. So I appreciate your willingness to show up today to listen to me. You know, God's love is abounding. And, you know, from our scripture reading, we know that if we show mercy and are merciful, God will have mercy on us. And recently, my wife and I started studying God's mercy. And we're reading a book together, which has some fill in the blanks and kind of work, you know, it's like a study guide. And I was telling her as we decided to do this, it was really me that wanted to pursue learning about God's mercy. And the reason is because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. We need mercy. I need mercy. And I've had over my life a number of incidences where I was being shown mercy, and it was clear that I did not deserve it, but yet the person was showing me mercy. And sometimes that was my parents. Actually, a whole bunch of times that was my parents. And then more recently, I'll tell you about a story in just a second. But what is mercy? What is mercy? You know, it's such an interesting term. So I wanted to build out a framework, just kind of a broad definition, is that mercy is love in action. And how do we apply that to our lives? So I thought I would start by telling a story. And this story is from January of 2000. I think it was 2016, but it may have been 2017. It's really something that I've put out of my mind. I had to bring it back for this purpose here because it's not my proudest moment. It's one of my worst moments. But it clearly illustrates mercy. So, you know, I'm a financial advisor, as Neil said, and I've been in the industry for quite a few years. And in January, I was passed over for an opportunity by our corporate office, And what's odd is that I did not want the opportunity, but I was mad internally. I was mad, and it was bothering me. It was eating away at me internally. But I didn't even want the stupid opportunity, right? So we're at a meeting, and my boss is there. He's standing at the head of the table. We're all seated around in a conference room. All of my peers are there from the local area. And he's making his presentation, and I interrupt him, and I literally cuss him out. I'm a sinner. I need mercy. I was excused from the meeting. No surprise there. I went back to my office, and I honestly thought I was going to be fired. That's what should have happened. I was completely insubordinate to my superior in front of my peers. And when the meeting concluded, he came into my office, and we talked, and I was forgiven. I was not put on a leave of absence. I was not terminated. I was basically told to get my act together. And I thought at that moment, wow. Of course, at that time, I didn't understand mercy. But now as I look back on it, he clearly had mercy on me because he could have written me up for insubordination. He could have terminated me. He could have done a lot of things. He did nothing. I did not deserve it. That was mercy. Love in action, right? So as I begin thinking about that, and as I begin researching and studying, I've come to learn that, did you know that the number one characteristic of God in the Bible is mercy? More so than omniscient, you know, all-knowing and all-powerful and omnipresent and a just God and all those things that how we describe God, mercy is the number one characteristic in the Bible. And I think that's pretty amazing. Exodus 34:6 says that God is merciful and gracious. He is long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. Again, mercy, love in action. So now let's kind of unpack that a little bit and go a little deeper on that. And so Psalms 145:8 says that the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, and filled with undying or unfailing love. No matter what, he's obviously hurt that we're screwing up, but he is filled with love and compassion. So how do we begin to apply this to our lives? And the first thing that comes to mind is forgiveness. We have to forgive those who have fallen. See, back in January of 2016, I clearly fell, and I needed forgiveness. I needed mercy, but I also needed to be forgiven. And my superior did that. He forgave me. He was able to see through me and show mercy on me, but beyond that, he was able to forgive me. Colossians 3, verse 13 says that we must forgive others. The Lord forgave us, so we must in turn forgive others. That's hard to do. How many grudge holders do we have in a room? Don't raise your hand, okay? But how many grudge holders do we have in the room? I mean, all of us, it seems, are harboring some resentment or anger or a grudge or something against somebody for some issue in the past. I have acquaintances, friends that haven't spoken to their family members in many, many years because of something that happened way, way back in the past, 20 years ago, and yet they're still not talking because they haven't forgiven each other. We have to forgive. God forgave us. We have to forgive others. It's not easy, but we're commanded to do it. The second item is to help those who are hurting. So Proverbs 3, verse 27 says, whenever possible, do good to those who need it. As I was reading that, I was thinking, does that mean we need to start giving money to the homeless guy on the corner? Is that what that means, help those who are needing? And I came away with, you know what, in some cases it may mean that. It may mean that's what you need to do. But I think it goes much deeper than that, because we're all hurting in some way. Sometimes it's more obvious. Maybe there's a divorce situation, or maybe there's a bankruptcy situation, or maybe somebody has passed, and you're hurting inside, and we're called to help those that are hurting. But it could be something much that's not as deep. Maybe it's just helping somebody out that's on the corner that needs a meal or needs a little bit of money to help them get by. God leaves that up to us to interpret, to use our judgment and our free will to help determine, hey, this person is hurting. Can I help them in some way? We're commanded to do that, just as God has commanded, or just as God has helped us. So the first one, forgive those that have fallen. The second one, help those that are hurting. The third, be patient with difficult people. This is a very difficult one for me. Just on the drive down this morning, I was struggling with my patience. We were detoured out of Fresno off the freeway into downtown Fresno, and there were miles of cars, because they're working on the freeway, apparently, on 41 freeway. And I'm telling you what, I was thinking I was going to be late. We left with plenty of time, but I was told to be here at a certain time, and I wanted to be here on that time. And I was slightly stressing in the car. I was not patient, okay? And then several cars in front of ours, you know, that person decided to be polite and wait, and so the cross traffic could go. Right? Come on, man, I got to get to church. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 says, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Man, that's a struggle sometimes. As I've gotten older, the patience have become easier for me than when I was younger, right? Before we had kids, I was very impatient. And then when we had children, of course, that changed, and I became much more patient. And then just as I've gotten older, I've slowed down a little bit myself, and I've become more patient. But I'm not patient like I need to be, right? None of us are. Things rile us up and get us upset because it's taking too long, or this or that. You're trying to get a loan on your house, and it's taking too long for the loan to close escrow, or maybe you're trying to get through traffic like I was this morning, and we just gotta be patient. And we have to be patient with each other, because we're all on different journeys. We're all at different points in our life with our journey with our Christian walk with Christ. And so where I may understand something very well, maybe my peer does not, and I need to slow down and be patient and help that person along. And then on the flip side, maybe I don't understand something and my peer needs to be patient with me. And that's happening right now in my house, right? There's a lot of technology now in the world that wasn't there when I was growing up. We didn't have iPhones and cable TV in my house. You know, we didn't even have remotes. You know, you had to get up and manually turn the channel. Right? And so as my kids have grown up, they don't know anything different than remote control and iPhone and instant this and instant that. And so many times when I'm communicating with my children, they are acting as if I know what they're talking about. And it's become a joke in our house because I don't know. You got to be patient with your dad and explain what you're talking about, because I don't know what your gizmo Instagram, whatever you're talking about, is or does. You know, whatever the new, I can't even keep up with it because it changes every day practically. The new words that they're using, you know, I can't even think of them, but they mean that people are not around, or, you know, ghosted, or I don't even know. But they have to slow down and be patient with me so that I understand what they're talking about. In my career, I have to slow down and explain to my clients what we're doing and how we're managing things so that they understand. And sometimes I have to go over it a couple times because I want to make sure they understand and that they're comfortable with what they're doing. So number three, be patient with difficult people. This is a very different thing. If we scratch the surface, sometimes those difficult people, there's always a story underneath. There's always a twist in the situation. When you really get to know them and try to help them and figure out and be patient, you find that there's an underlying current. There's a hang-up or an issue or something that's causing them to be difficult or causing them to act out many times. And so we're called to help those, to be patient with them and to help them work through those issues if we can. Maybe they won't let us, but if they will, then we're called to help them. We must accept each other just as Christ has accepted us. So I keep coming back to this notion of I'm a sinner, right? We're all sinners. We all know that. But to say it out loud and to say, you know, I need mercy. You know, I go through my life trying to do the right things and may have this image of myself that I'm doing okay. But I'm not. I'm screwing up every day. my thoughts, my words, my actions, I'm a sinner. I need God's mercy. I need his forgiveness. And I'm called to be that way with all of you, with my family, with my friends, with my clients, with my peer group, right? It's always easier to criticize and point the finger. And I'm sure you guys have heard this, but when you point the finger, you got three pointing back at you, right? So you got to be careful with the criticisms and the pointing of the finger. And just remember, you're probably three times, right? One, two, three. Three times as bad as whatever you're pointing the finger at. So the next one is just we need to be kind to our enemies. And Luke 6, 33 through about 35, and I'm going to read this here. It says, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. But love your enemies, do good to them. Then your reward will be great, and you will have sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Man, how do we be kind to our enemies, right? The people that have hurt us the most and have lashed out against us. That's difficult. But God commands us to do it. The fifth, so we have forgive those who have fallen, help those that need help, help those that are hurt. Be patient with difficult people. Be kind to your enemies. The last one is care for the lost. Care for the spiritually lost. I've always found it interesting in the years that I've been going to the Adventist church. So I grew up in a Baptist household. My parents are Baptists. We went to a Sunday church, and my sister and her family, you know, go to a Sunday church. My brother actually married a gal that's Adventist, so he and his family are Seventh-day Adventist. When my wife and I got married, we were Baptists. We went to a Sunday church, and it wasn't until we moved to Fresno that we went to a number of different Sunday worshiping churches, and we never felt like we fit in. And so we started going to the Seventh-day Adventist church, and we were there for all of our kids growing up, basically, you know. And I, having gone to the Adventist or to the Sunday churches, there's always a offering to give your life to Christ. Come down, make a public profession of faith, give your life to Christ. I always thought it was interesting that in the Adventist church, we don't do that. unless you're at camp meeting or an evangelical type of setting. We don't just do it here in church. But yet, the single most important thing that we can do to show mercy to people is to share the gospel with them. It's to help them get onto the path of salvation, right? We're not saved through our good works. We're not saved by coming to church on Saturday and all the doctrines that all the churches have, not just Adventists, but Baptists and Methodists, that they all have, you know, two pages of doctrines, of rules that we're supposed to follow. But God says we need to show people the gospel, get them on the path of salvation. And once they're on that path, they can figure out how they're going to grow in their relationship with Christ. We have to help them get to that point to where they can see that they need to have a relationship with Christ. And we can't always do it by saying, hey, come to SoCal for the next 2 weeks and it'll be great. Maybe they're working, right? Who knows? So I'd like to see that change in our churches. Mercy is the way God treats people. That's the way he treats us. That's the way we need to treat others. And we need to help people that are spiritually lost. I had an individual working for me who was happened to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And this individual was a person that was on the path to becoming a pastor in the Adventist church. And I said, you know, he was just doing some part-time work for me in the beginning. And I said, man, there's plenty of people to pastor right here in this client base that I have. At that time, I had about 1,500 clients, and phone would ring every day with issues, people struggling financially. They needed to get money from their accounts, people going through divorces, and I needed to separate the accounts for the husband and the wife, people that were dealing with deaths and that were hurting inside, and all kinds of stuff. And I said to this individual, it's great to be a pastor in the Adventist church. Most of those people are saved already. Why don't you be a pastor to this congregation, these 1,500 people that are calling in all the time, and be a pastor to them? Make that your congregation. That's difficult, because when we come through the door here at the church, we all are here for a common goal, right? If you walk onto the car lot, you're there to look at cars, right? But to walk out to somebody in the supermarket or who happens to call on the phone wanting to know about their accounts and say, let me tell you about Jesus, brother. That's a little awkward, right? So we have to find the opportunity to make that situation happen. It's not going to always happen, right? God will touch us and direct us on how that happens. But hopefully we'll be open to it and say, oh, here's a wide open door that this person wants to talk about Christ, or maybe I have the opportunity to talk about Christ with this person, and maybe we can make that slight little shift in our lifestyles, and instead of looking at our device while we're walking down the street, right, we can put the device away and look around at people and see if they're hurting or maybe they want to talk and have that opportunity to share the gospel. Does that make sense? I was told that I could talk as long as I wanted, that most people take about an hour. But then I was also told that there's a potluck after this. So I guess I'm the one standing between you and lunch. Is that correct? So I'll wrap things up. In conclusion, just consider this. we must be merciful because God is merciful, right? We must be merciful because we need mercy, right? And if you think about it, we must be merciful because it makes us happy. It's the pathway to inner peace and happiness. And I cannot tell you over my lifetime how many times I've been praying for inner peace and happiness. To have that peaceful, easy feeling inside of me that everything's okay. I don't need to stress. God is in control. He's going to take care of us. So we need mercy because it will make us happy. So thank you. Shall we pray? Is that okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that I've had the opportunity to come here today and share my thoughts about your mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would open up the hearts and the minds of those around us and give us the opportunities that you think we can handle to share your gospel, Father, and to help people find you, and that we can forgive the fallen and help those that are hurting, and to be patient with everyone around us, and to just show your mercy, Father. We know that mercy is love in action, and we ask that you would help us apply that in our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen.